welcome to the Wonder What podcast. My name is Rob.
And I'm Robbie.
And we are, once again, I'm still stymied that we're doing this. What are we doing?
Well, we are here to discuss all things Eastgate and Eastgate Plus. A few other little things, too. But
Eastgate
mostly
Plus.
Eastgate. Yeah.
it's like an upgrade for Eastgate. You can have normal Eastgate, or you can get Eastgate Plus.
That's right.
All the extra unlocked features.
Hope you're not disappointed.
It was so disappointing. I paid for extra features. What do I get?
Aww.
I get what? I get...
this.
More of this.
Rob and Robbie.
We need less of this. Eastgate Plus should actually have less stuff.
We could work on that. We could just start making it shorter and shorter.
That's right. If you want our premium services, we won't even show up.
You're welcome.
So anyway, we want to say hi to the four people that are listening to this. Now, somebody came to me and said, I think it was Sharon Stokes came and said, you know, I'm listening now, so there's more than four people. But and it's very sweet that we can't make the assumption that we haven't lost listeners.
That's true.
So I would actually assume that
we have four plus.
You know how like your body cycles through cells, you shed cells and they die, like within a few years you're a completely different person. I would assume that we are shedding listeners on a regular basis. To where, we might even be bragging by saying four people.
Yeah, maybe we should say four minus.
Four and
you know how goldfish adjust to the size of the bowl? Yeah. Our audience adjusts to the amount interest entertainment or information.
Intelligence is like,
Okay, we'll see you next time.
If you subscribe to Eastgate Plus, we'd be done by now. But as it is,
that's right.
Since you got the free version, you're gonna get the whole thing. We're gonna keep talking. Sorry.
And we've already done the sorry episode, but it's kind of a common theme.
Yeah,
it keeps coming up.
Yeah. So okay. So I forget, what are we doing here? What's going on, Robbie?
Well, the first thing, I made a new sheet. I'm very happy about it. I think it's much better organized. The first thing we were going to talk about was recent things that have been going on at Eastgate.
And so what's been going on, Robbie?
well, we just had Easter long ago. We talked about it on the last podcast, which has been a month.
That's right.
A month goes really quickly. It's amazing how quickly it goes. But yes, a month has happened since. I thought we were on this early this time. And then I looked and went, now it's been exactly a month. So
we had Easter and we had our normal.
The weather cooperated.
It's been our first time doing an Easter thing since the storm. Well, obviously, since it's only been a little over 6 months since the storm. But we had our sunrise service, and that went well. We weren't able to...
Pineapple Willys, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we already talked about beforehand that we weren't going to be at Seltzer Park.
Yeah, because it still wasn't repaired yet. So Melissa Traxler, who is part of the management at Pineapple Willys.
And amazing.
Yes, she is awesome. Opened the place up for us. And so there was lots of parking.
Oh, my goodness.
There were bathrooms.
It was the best. And since she's okay with it, this is probably going to be our new thing.
Hope she likes us enough to be okay with that.
Goal.
It's like, we love you, Melissa.
Our main goal, obviously, is going to be to not get Melissa mad at us.
Whether she likes it or not. Well, the thing is
she likes us. Melissa likes us.
She says she does.
Yeah.
I hope she does. We love her. And not just for all the things she does for us. actually, they suffered, in the hurricane too. They basically had to rebuild the whole pier.
Yeah, and it's still not completely done. They've got the whole roof is still just beams. Yeah. You check the surf there, and I mean
do.
on their webcam.
Oh yeah, I do that every day.
You do?
I
get it.
Well, and even when we went down there, it'll probably even be, I don't know what it'll be like next year, but we went down the steps where you normally go. If anyone doesn't know, Pineapple Willys, by the way, is an awesome place to eat. It has a pier you can sit on and eat, or you can sit inside. But then there's this great little area where you walk from the restaurant down to the beach. And they have chairs out there, but that area was not really a great place for us to go. And so we went to the other side of the pier, but there was still kind of some construction, like fencing that we walked around. But once you got over to the other side, was really awesome because they have a lower like deck area where we could put some equipment, but also then run the electrical cords, which right. if so we anybody's ever come, we usually use battery power.
Yeah.
So, this
was the first year in years where we didn't have the sound go stupid and clip out or
that
whatever.
That was wonderful. Yeah. All the sound crew were so happy. And we didn't have really Mike true. Brown, who's always there. And he and his wife Darby were on a much deserved little trip. And they, anyway, he was not there to help, but that was fine. There were plenty of other people there to help, but yeah, it was still area and everything, and yeah. It was all a little scary at first, but it actually
But it was an Easter
well.
Miracle because we didn't have a sound problem, so it was wonderful.
That was really nice. Yeah. There's nothing like electrical power.
And then we had our normal service out in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. The weather cooperated.
The weather
it was beautiful.
Perfect. Oh, my goodness. It was just amazing. There's nothing better than those meetings to me.
Yes.
I love them.
Oh, they're so fun.
And
the
potluck
kids
afterwards.
Do stuff, and
I feel like a lot more people stayed for the potluck, don't you?
I do, too. More stayed for the potluck, and there was a lot more food. We had times where, I don't know what it was, but it just seemed like the food ran out really fast.
Yeah.
And so we as staff would try to supplement with some things. I know I brought a couple of hams and some rolls. And I'm like, there was a ton of ham there.
Yeah.
I didn't even probably need to bring any ham this year. There was so much food. And I get it. A lot of people have a big Easter dinner at home and stuff. So not everybody's going to want to stay. But it was awesome. It was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I guess he's yours too. Our new little grandson came to church.
That's
Elliot,
right. Elliot
and
came
he was
that
in his
day.
Stroller and sleeping the whole
a
time.
Beautiful little baby, I'll
yes,
tell you.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
I still say I would just be happy to retire and become a full-time grandparent.
That'd be the best.
Those kids are wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Yes. They're the greatest.
So anyway, what upcoming events are happening?
Well, we have a surf and grill coming up this month.
We do. Summertime is coming in on us, isn't it?
It is sneaking up. The sun came out. It's gotten hot overnight.
I did get hot. We were talking to Matt Green the other day, and he was saying it's like Florida all of a sudden went, whoops, it's May. I gotta get going here. And
I
just
gotta act like
up the
Florida.
Heat.
Yes.
That's right. So it was hot today. We were out doing lawn work.
Yes.
And woo.
Yes. It was very warm.
Caliente.
But we haven't been to the Gulf yet, so I don't know how cold or whatever the water is, but it's so hot out, it would probably feel great.
Well, I mean, people have been surfing without wetsuits, so that's the signal.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's to me, that would be it. So.
And I think we talked about doing, three surf and grills this year? We used to do them every month in the summer.
Yeah, we're trying to space them out. We're doing three. We're doing one in May, one in July. And that one's the flex one because, it's always hard to tell whether the weather's going to cooperate. We get a lot of those afternoon thunderstorms in July. June grass sometimes comes in. So we're going to, we'll be flexible with that one. So we will plan for one in July and then we'll do one in September.
Okay.
We'll miss August because that's just miserable. That's a benefit. Even if you don't have Eastgate Plus, you don't have to go down in August and suffer
that's
the
right.
heat. That's a bonus for everybody.
Well, and we found that probably just narrowing it down to a few every summer is probably better.
Yeah.
Condensing it, it's a ton of work for the volunteers and
really
the staff
is.
To put together. And so we thought, well, we're just going to condense it to have two or three in the season. So
and it's worked. I mean, it worked out really well last year.
Yeah, it worked out
like.
Really well. But I do just want to say, if anybody's listening that hasn't been baptized, that this is your chance. And you don't want to pass that up. It's an awesome experience. And
it is. I tell people it's like placing a stake in the ground. It's like something that you can look back to and say, listen, this is something I did. And I did this because my convictions were strong, that I knew who I was. And because that's the thing. Our enemy... That's what goes on all the time. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to forget who we are. And moments like this, rituals like this, sacred rituals that are visceral this way, where we're acting something out. We're acting out dying and being buried and then raised again with Christ, identifying with him. It's one of those things that helps us to remember who we are. And if you haven't been baptized, absolutely, you want to do that this year.
It's a great public declaration, in front of your friends and family, and that sounds maybe scarier than I think it really is, but
I think that
it's a low risk.
Yeah, thing. I mean, come on, it's down at the beach. We're all hanging out, and you're not going to find a friendlier group of people that are so stoked. I mean, how many times have we, over the years, been down there and we're baptizing people and everybody erupts in applause and stuff. And people from the beach kind of wander up going, what's going on here? Everybody's so happy. What's happening here?
Yes.
And that gives us an opportunity to even express what our hope is.
Exactly. You're
ready to give an answer for the hope that we have.
And just give people another opportunity to connect with community.
In
a positive community. In fact, we have that even up at the pavilion. We have a grill going and lots of food. There's tons of food there. And again, we have our banners up and everything, but we still have people ask them too, and we share everything we have because we have a lot.
We usually do have a lot of food, and that's really awesome.
It is. It's a fun time of year. I love it.
So some of the small groups are, we finished up a small group with Lance Ford. The Missional Essentials.
Okay.
I get it wrong all
That's
the
okay.
time.
Okay.
I've got a different title. I've got an alternate title for Lance, but he just refuses to use it. But either way, his title
He's stubborn
is
like
Missional Essentials. And
which is the title of the book and the workbook.
So yes, but I got a better one. It's called Elemental Missional Stuff. Either way, that group wrapped up. We had our last meeting, had a really great discussion, but we have... I was dialoguing some with Julie Higby. Actually, she's dialogued with me. I have yet to respond. But
how's that
about,
going?
About making that kind of a regular meeting where we'll recap some of the missional things that we're looking at and then go through the light acrostic of, you know, of looking at how this has been working in our lives, what ways we can continue to expand our understanding of how we carry out our mission.
That's cool. Well, I know Craig St. Martin, who's an awesome friend of ours and member of Eastgate, just did the missions
update.
There we go. Missions update at Eastgate, which he does monthly. And he talked about that group too. I know he was one of the faithful that always came
and
he talked about
the
impact.
And he always had some great insights to share with the group in,
that's
in
his
that
heart.
Too. Yeah, it really
missions.
Is.
And I think the main idea of that, I'm sorry I didn't make it to the meetings, but was looking at the world around you as the mission field, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And looking at how we can be incarnational with the gospel like Jesus was incarnational. So, you know, understanding, recognizing that we're sent into our neighborhoods, we're sent in. You okay? Did you?
Sorry, I was trying to stretch my leg out and I just hit the TV tray, which has the microphone on it, which caused a... There it is again.
Oh, man.
So sorry.
Just back away, slowly.
Old joints need to get stretched out. So sorry.
Anyway, I forget what I was talking about. It doesn't really matter.
Craig St. Martin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and...
Well, yeah. And the
theme of the book.
Yeah. Looking at how we can be incarnational in the neighborhoods. Understanding that we're sent into our neighborhoods. We're sent to our workplace. These are not just the things that we do or how life has just kind of happened for us. We've been sent into these places with the mission of expressing the kingdom of God into those places. And sharing that. It's pretty cool. It's been very motivating for me. Julie Higby was talking to me about how much it's meant to her and how it's really expanded her thinking. And
that's awesome.
And yeah, it's been wonderful. So,
and that book, this sounds like a really awful plug, but if you don't have that book, it is available on Amazon.
Yeah. So. The workbook is available. And then he's also got the novel. he's written a book called Next Door as It Is in Heaven.
Yes.
Which
is essentially a lot of the same,
of the same principles. The Missional Essentials is a workbook that will kind of take you through it. You can do it as an individual, or you can get a group of people together. I'm hoping to maybe see this happen. You know, we talked about that at the end of the meeting. Maybe, you know, get some different people starting to lead it. Just start a whole new group with the same material, run through it again, and, you know, just keep this going. Keep us thinking and moving in this direction.
That's awesome.
More and more people involved. I really think it's an important aspect of us as a community.
Absolutely. Well, the other thing that's starting back up, I think it's been shut down for a little while because of Janelle's situation. Popcorn Parables is back.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the next one's May 15th.
Yes.
But I think Matt, he'll announce it regularly. It's on the calendar. But I think it's like the third Wednesday of every month. Whereas if anyone knows our son-in-law, Matt Green, his love for movies and all that, but he chose a movie once a month in the gig room. And it's an awesome screen setting, projector, yeah, and all that. And then at the end, you know, he gives a little insight at the beginning, and then at the end he discusses it with the group and talks about the Christ connections and that kind of thing.
Really good. I haven't been able to get to all, you know, I went to more earlier on when he was doing it, first starting it, but I'll tell you, it was just always so edifying.
It's really
every time
fun
I was in there.
Too.
Yeah, it is. It's great to watch a movie together with a group of people. I mean, mm-hmm. that's always fun, but then just to be able to have a dialogue about it, in that, you know, and it's better than just even going through and just trying to, you know, build a sermon out of a movie or something like that.
Right.
It's much better than that. It's just like bringing these concepts and these truths into everyday life, into even the arts and the things that, you know, that entertain us.
Right.
We can still find those connections and
it helps you be more aware of those kinds of things that are all around you, the way God permeates our society, our culture.
And our thinking, yeah, without mm-hmm. us even knowing it half the time.
Yes.
More than half the time.
Oh, I wanted to mention, when is Heigig's new meeting time?
You know, I refuse to talk about this. I think
just admit it.
No, what? I admit that you were...
Yes?
Perhaps you had the time correctly and I didn't. It doesn't matter. The four people listening,
totally
it depends on whether the four people listening even had people in the youth group. So what's it matter?
Well,
they don't have students.
Our point is to dispense information, and I think it's helpful if the information is correct.
I think it's only helpful. I think that if you want correct information, you should join Eastgate Plus. Not only do we give you correct information on Eastgate Plus, we don't give you information. So it's even better. It's better than anything.
So in case you were wondering, the high school youth group that changed their meeting time from Sunday evenings is changed it to after church service. We only have one now, from 12 to 1:30.
So you're 12 to 1:30. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So all four of you, run to your calendars quickly. Jot it down.
It's important. Stop it.
It is important. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to minimize the importance of the youth group. I'm just saying that. Yeah.
Don't mess with me. Okay. there's one more thing, actually. Men's camping trip is happening May 16th and 17th at St. Andrews State Park.
Yeah. Rob, not the pastor. I affectionately call Rob not the pastor. It's just because if I'm ever around him and people say Rob and we both turn, I forget who did that first, but somebody yelled at him and said, Rob, not the pastor. And it just kind of stuck. I think that was at a men's camp out.
Was it?
Yeah.
And I feel like I saw it posted somewhere too, like on not a message board, because nobody really does that anymore. But I just remember feeling like that was his handle.
Yeah.
Rob, in the parentheses, not the pastor. And that was how he would comment and reply. It was always cracked me up.
But Rob Royak is heading this up, and there's going to be a fish fry on Friday night, and it's going to be primitive camping, the primitive camping over there at St. Andrews State mm-hmm. Park, which I believe is over closer to the channel side.
Oh, cool. So he must have reserved a couple of spots there or something.
I guess. I don't even know how the primitive camping works over there. I really don't.
I don't either, but I think all of the details are on the Eastgate calendar, so you can contact Rob and find out more about it.
Rob, not the pastor.
That's
if you contact
right.
me, unless you are an Eastgate Plus member.
He'll give you the wrong time.
If you're
time.
An Eastgate Plus member, I won't answer the phone.
Or if he does, he'll give you the wrong time.
That's right. But yeah, you can do that. And primitive camping sounds like a blast. Be sure to wear animal skins. That's primitive,
bring some
right?
drums.
Yeah, bring a spear with you. It'll be perfect. We'll hunt mastodon.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Got called over to Eastgate today.
We did. Are you informing me, or what are you halfway? We're almost
so
finished with the repairs on the building, the windows that have been missing for a long time.
Yeah, we were talking about it. It's been over 6 months, and we had one.
Did we
have a total of four windows?
No,
out?
It was a total of three windows.
No, because there was the office window too.
Yeah, it was a total of three. Office
oh, okay,
window
okay,
and
gotcha.
Two from the main.
Main, okay.
The big
they
room.
They replaced one of the ones from the main room.
You know what? They did.
So there's three in the Eastgate main
No, they
room.
Didn't. No, actually, they did not
okay.
because they're still tinted. So that was the whole thing. The window sizes, when they came to do it, somebody had measured wrong, and so they didn't have the glass cut right. So they had to reorder the glass, which is a special kind of impact glass that had to come from, I don't know where it came from, because it took either. 6 months to get here. So,
but they did the Eastgate office window, which I think a 2x4 went through during the hurricane.
Something did.
And glass came into the office. It was a hot mess. And so there was a plywood over that for a while. And then they eventually got that one replaced. And then they were planning on getting the two from the main room. And when they got there, they're like, oh, these were not what we expected. And so they left and never came back.
Never came back. They came today, didn't they?
They did. The landlord did. I think we talked about this before. The landlord did a conference call with you and the glass person said, deal with the glass. And they thought, oh, we thought it was done. So anyway, they called us today and said, we're coming now to replace the windows.
Yep.
So we went up there
and
let them in and left.
Well, and one of the windows got replaced. And then I got a call saying, sorry, but they measured wrong on the glass. I'm not going to say the name of the, because this stuff happens.
Oh,
I mean, it's just whatever. I mean, it's post hurricane stuff.
I think they're supposed
still,
to fix the second one tomorrow.
Yeah, so they should be coming tomorrow, but they got to recut the glass.
But what was funny, too, is in the meantime, the landlord, I think he's based in Atlanta, and he has workers that come down every month or two to do, like, not major, but bigger stuff than just whatever,
fix up
cleaning
stuff
up
around the place.
Yeah, and they had repainted the whole Beachwalk Center,
yeah,
and they took the plywood and painted it the color of the stucco. And it actually kind of
worked from a distance. You didn't even think about
it. Oh, wow. And after the glass guys left today, they did an even better job with that piece of plywood. They had it cut to fit perfectly. It wasn't on the outside propped in there. It was
So then it
looked
really
a little better, but I'm hoping they're not planning on leaving that for another 6 months. So,
well, we can only hope. But they said they can get it cut and be back tomorrow. So
I do feel like at the 6 month mark for Hurricane Michael that there were some changes. I feel like people started seeing some bigger changes. Some friends of ours who'd been without a home all that time finally got their new home and installed. I say it's a prefab home, I guess. I don't know. It's not a mobile home. But they got that put together and they finally were able to move in. And my boss that I work for, they've got their contractor out and beginning to really do some things. It's nice to see just a little progress.
Yeah, we still have several friends that are not in their homes yet. One of our sound guys.
Or their
guys,
place of business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of our sound guys, he's still living in a trailer.
That's right.
You know, out in front of his house. And just the pressures of that after a while. So when you're thinking about that, if you're still in your home and cozy, be praying for your brothers and sisters who are still waiting to be able to get back into their places. And granted, they have a place, they got a roof over their head, and that's a wonderful thing. But man, there's nothing like being able to have your own home, and that's a difficult thing to endure.
And another thing that happened yesterday, which was Sunday, is a man who worked with our son at the Air Force base had to leave because his apartment was destroyed. And he'd been living in Atlanta for 6 months.
Yeah, working remotely.
He was finally back. And they said, come back. And he said, okay, I'm back. And he's like, there's nowhere to live.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing posts where people are looking for two bedrooms and they're between $1,500 and $2,000.
It's crazy. It is crazy how expensive it is for people to live here.
And so he found somewhere to live for a couple days, and then he's living with some coworkers after that until he finds a place. So, yeah, it's still very challenging.
Yeah. So, here's something that people may not know about Eastgate.
What's that?
That back in the day, back in our history, there was a sweet lady that used to, on every Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is coming up. I don't know if you know that.
I do, yes.
But every Mother's Day, she would always buy white carnations and be there standing at the door and just hand them out to every lady that walked in. And, every mother that walked in. And we were a smaller church at that time, too, so it was a little bit easier for it. I remember she would come with a big box full of those things.
So sweet.
It was Irene Hennessy.
Yeah. She was dear.
She passed away probably 10 years ago.
Probably. Yeah, because.
Or more.
My mom was here 10 years and I
know
she wasn't around then. So it's
been
more
than
that.
It has to be more than that. Maybe 15 years ago.
Hey, if anyone's a pastor out there, keep a diary. It's hard to remember
all
these
things. I'm telling you, if there's a great regret that I have, it's that I did not keep a journal and keep all these things down, because
Weddings, funerals.
Yeah, because you deal with so many people, and you share a story with so many people, and then as you get older, your memory goes to crap. Can I say that?
You said it. And, it's been said.
And it's terrible that I struggle to remember these things, and I keep thinking, man, when I was younger, if I'd have... And the
she's
cat,
upset,
and the
too.
The cat agrees with me.
Sorry.
The cat never... Well, the cat only agrees with me if I'm correcting myself. Because the cat always corrects me. Always judges me.
She yells and scolds. So sorry about that. But yeah, that's all.
Yeah, so
we
that
just
was
sometimes
something...
wish we just had just a log of the dates or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember all that.
But
yes.
It's a sweet memory that I have of
very much
dear
so.
Irene, who would stand there and hand out those flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that thick Pennsylvania accent. And it was a wonderful thing.
She's a sweet, sweet lady. And her daughter, Peggy, was a longtime member of Eastgate. And she's since moved away to Orlando. We love her still, of course. And she keeps in touch a little bit. And if we have the opportunity to broadcast our services, she will watch them and try to stay in touch.
Yeah.
And we go way back with Peggy.
Yep. So that's something you may not have known.
That's right. And as far as a volunteer... This week, I ran into some volunteers yesterday that have since moved away, and I wanted to mention Jake and Julie Jacob, and they just moved away. They retired, and they have a place in
Tennessee now.
I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they live just up the street from us, and then they moved, and they're still in the process of building their retirement home. But anyway, they used to teach 4th and 5th grade class.
Oh.
All the time.
Did such a wonderful job. And
they were awesome.
Jake would, was really into geology. And so he would bring in rocks and different things that says show the kids and arrowheads and stuff like that, because he was a scoutmaster for a lot of years too. And of course, my kids knew his kids. They went to high school together. So
they had 4 kids. We had 4 kids.
Yeah.
High five each other about that all the time. 2 boys, 2 girls. And and Jake was just like, in a lot of ways, like another dad to a lot of our kids, but especially Janelle.
Yeah.
In this last few years, she suffered some loss, and he always would come up to her and just say, I feel like you need a hug today, and things like that. He was just so dear.
Yeah.
Really, really great.
So we're
people.
Sad to see them go. We know the guy they got has a brand new adventure for them, but they were wonderful volunteers that would
goodness,
work with
yes.
our community for.
Really appreciate them, and I know they're going to be a blessing to their new community.
Yes.
Where they have moved to. So, what have you been watching or reading or anything lately, entertaining yourself with lately?
I have not been reading at all. This is one of those times. I'm reading books on the Gospel of Mark, books that I purchased, as I was going into this study, so I'll read... through those, I read through one of them about Mark being I think I've already talked about that, Mark being a narrative, and you'll hear me repeat that stuff that I've learned from that. But I haven't been really reading. I read that book that Stan Lacane gave me, and that one was unsettling. Not in a bad way, but just an unsettling book. Yeah. And I really haven't picked anything up since then.
But we do have kind of a routine at the end of every day. I don't know, probably around dinner time.
We'll try to watch some shows together.
Yeah, we'll eat and watch a show or something. So I know we've watched a couple things lately.
Yeah. So we've been watching on recommendation from our kids to the show called The Goldbergs.
Yeah, that's actually been really cute.
It's a sitcom, and I'm not usually a big sitcom guy. It's not going to be my first go-to. You can roll your eyes if you want to, but that's the truth. That's not the first thing that I'm going to sit down and think, oh, I want to watch a sitcom. But it's really funny. It's cleverly written. It's about a family in the 80s, and the young boy videotaped everything that was going on, and so they kind of recreated a lot of those scenes. And
I assume he wrote it too.
I believe he created it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And his name is Goldberg.
Yeah.
And I think in true life there were 3 boys, but in the show it's a girl and 2 boys.
Yeah.
And he's the youngest one. And they've been pretty cute. I know our kids have watched them, and they've been begging us to watch them too. So we said, okay, let's start. And we're kind of binge watchers, so we've watched 3 or 4 already. But the it's pretty cute because at the end of every episode, it shows an actual home movie.
Yeah.
That he drew his inspiration from. Probably not the whole story, but just part of it. And it's like, wow, this really happened with this family. It's really adorable.
And you can tell that it's a family, and he points it out that they're still close, and they get the, what encourages me is that, like, the dad is constantly calling the kids morons and things like that.
It's hilarious.
And but it puts my, because I constantly sit around wringing my hands over the way that I would have, you know, because I would kid with our kids a lot, and I would say things like that, and I'll come across,
it was always in jest.
Yes, but I'll come across videos. I'm like, oh, why did I say that? I should have been nicer to them. But they seem to get it. And
I think so.
So I think that's part of it too, is that I look at that and think, okay, they made it through. They love each other. I still love my kids.
He was so appreciative of his childhood, he wanted to recreate it in sitcom form.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So there we go. So maybe my kids. For all the Eastgate Plus members, there will be a sitcom involving the Woodrum kids that you'll never have to see.
There you go. You're welcome.
So what else? What else are we watching?
There's been a new series of Bosch on Amazon.
I love Bosch.
Yeah, I just happened to see an ad that there was a new series because I didn't realize because we normally try to stay up on that. But yeah, so I'm trying to pace it out so that it doesn't
end
get
too
over
quickly. Yeah, because then we're like sad. Like, well, let's watch Bosch. Well, it's over.
Yeah, we do. We're terrible binge watchers.
And again, I'm not a crime show guy. I don't, that's not my go-to kind of thing. Whatever, roll your eyes, whatever. But I'm not.
What are you, Rob?
I'm just
comic book guy.
I am a comic book guy. That is the
that's
truth.
That's the only
I will
thing
go,
you'll really
that's
own,
my go-to.
I think.
I'm going to look for comic book stuff, whatever's out there, because it's a golden age of comic book media. We've never had. When I was a little kid, you never got to see. You could only watch comic book stuff from the 50s when they had Superman, or the 60s with Batman, and that was so campy. And I mean, nowadays you got really cool.
I will say I am not a comic book girl.
Right. Okay. So cool. So whatever. So I'm not like a cop show is not going to be my first thing that I want to
really
see.
It's really not mine either.
But because we've listened to the Michael Connelly novels about Detective Bosch.
It seemed like a natural fit.
And they just do a great job with these shows.
Titus Welliver, I think he produces it, but he stars in it as well. And I just like him. He's Bosch. He's good.
And I've mentioned this before, haven't I? Somebody that I went to high school with? Yeah, I think I've already talked about that. Yeah. Is in
that
show.
We have two connections there. Yeah. There's the connection with, do you know his character's name?
I don't know the character's name. I know that the actor's name. I went to school with him.
Which is?
Scott Clayes.
Yes. And he plays one of the policemen that's there in the office all the time. He's kind of a regular character that's there regular almost every episode. And I feel like he does a great job. But then the other thing is our son Bradley met Michael Connelly. No. Yeah, Michael Connelly when he was in grad school for creative writing.
Yeah, that's right.
That was kind of cool. So, okay, enough bragging. The other show is that I've been watching, and I think I dragged you into it for a minute.
Yes, a minute.
Or two.
There was no superheroes, so I zoned out.
I know. It's Tidying Up. And that's something my girls got, and I think I might have mentioned this before too, and I've been trying to watch more episodes because I hadn't seen very many. And so I watched one of those yesterday, which for some reason, I don't know what's been going on, but for the last month, I've been going through our closets and drawers, and I just, in front of it, sometimes I'll just grab a drawer and dump it in a box and bring it out to the front room while watching TV, and I'll just have a big garbage can next to me and clean stuff out, and I've just been...
We cleaned out the closet here in my office, and that's amazing, because that was a big job.
Well, when did your dad pass away?
Way before we moved into this house, back in 95.
So there were two boxes in there full of his stuff. That we had not
touched. And that was whittling that down. I mean, I had all
kinds
of... You did
a great job with that.
You know.
I was very impressed.
But I mean,
I
even those two boxes, remember, that had been whittled down from all the other stuff that I had of his.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I remember I had boxes of cassette tapes and had a lot of stuff.
That's right. Because I remember thinking at one time, he had like three versions of the same writing. Your dad, if people don't know, was a prolific writer. He had several novels. He was an evangelist, a preacher, many things that we want to talk about on another episode.
Yeah.
But we had like cassette tapes and handwritten and typewritten versions of the same thing.
And also two versions of the sermon too, because he would speak it into a tape recorder at home on his own. And then they would record it there at his church when he'd actually give the message.
Yes.
So you had the practice run that he would do at home. I should probably do something like that.
There you go. Yeah. Well, but it's funny.
He was
funny.
Much more polished speaker than I am, so that's the way that
it
works.
It was a different style for a different day, I think. But back to the show that we were watching of Tidying Up totally reminded me of my mom. Because as I've mentioned before, she passed away 3 months ago now. And I had to clean out her apartment because my dad couldn't live there alone. And so he came in and stayed with us for 3 months. And so I cleaned out her apartment. And there was a lot of tears during that mm-hmm. time. But there was also, you know, the sense of understanding who she was as a person.
Sure.
And she was incredibly tidy. She had so many things organized neatly. She was a minimalist. I remember one of my family relatives said something like, well, you're going to be able to fit all of their stuff at your house. I'm like, they don't hardly have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so few things. We sold about 4 items, big items, and the rest was just like small stuff.
It was incredible how much she had minimized her possessions by the time it got to the end of her stretch here.
Yes. And parents, let this be a note to you. Do your kids a favor. Don't give them a pile of mess to have to go through and sort out. And
so you and I have been thinking about a lot.
I think that's probably part of it.
That's why the closet's cleaned out, so that our kids don't have to.
Yeah. The garage is an upcoming project. But, I mean, I'm going to say I probably tend more towards, like my mom, more of a purger than a hoarder. But I do hate having to rebuy something.
Yeah.
So there's a few things I've kept, like, I might need it. You know, I don't have to purchase it again in 6 months. But for the most part, I'm a cleaning out thing, which causes a phrase to happen a lot in our house, which is, where's that one thing? Did we throw it away? Who do you mean by we?
It's usually me. Did you throw that away? Where is this?
You say we. You're nice enough to say we. I usually say, do you mean me? I do throw things away, but I always check with you before I do that.
Yeah, sure you do.
I do. Okay, you lose stuff and you don't know where you keep them and you blame me.
Usually you're just hiding it from me. That's what I assume. I think it's appropriate that we're talking about your mom.
Yeah, because Mother's Day is coming up.
So what do we remember about our moms? What do you remember about your mom? If she were here, what would you like to say to her?
I might want to cry. I think that probably my best memories of my mom are, the fact that I always thought of her as a friend. I always felt like we were more peers than ever the bossy disciplinarian that some people may have as a mom. I don't know. I heard that people had moms like that. I just didn't. I just always felt like mom was a friend. And one of the pictures we put up on the slideshow at her memorial service was her with 3 of her girls. And I think it was Maddie, Lori, and I. And we all had like matching dresses on. And I just, apart from the fact my mom was just a little taller, we all looked, you know, like little carbon copies. And I always felt like my mom treated me like that. She treated me like a friend and a peer. And, you know, we had a break. I moved out when I was 18 before I turned 19. And I went to the crazy church and left California and went to the Midwest. And that's where I met you. And then she moved. Then we all moved to Florida, and you and I. And then she eventually came out here to Florida in about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. That's what I remember.
So there was kind of a gap from 19 to 45.
Yeah.
And so it was a chance to get to know her all over again.
And for me, it was actually really getting to know her. Because you and I got married out there.
Yes.
In Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And my visits with them were just sparse with quite a few years in between those things.
Yeah, we were so broke. We couldn't really go travel and see them. So if we ever saw them, for the most part, it was when they came to see us.
So I, you know, I had images that you would develop about who a person is from brief interactions and, you know, letters and things like that.
Sure.
Back in the day when it was letters, there was no email.
Right.
But it was really fascinating to get to know her more personally.
Yeah.
And realize that a lot of the things that I had assumed about her were inaccurate.
I think we all project an image of what we want people to think about us. And not that those were bad things.
No, it's a normal human thing that we do.
Yes. I think what struck me the most was her incredible sense of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And insecurity. I always thought she was very strong, independent.
She was a fierce feminist.
Yes. And when she was here and living near us, I'm like, oh, this is a very insecure person.
And it was startling.
It
kind of threw both of us at different points in time trying to, you know, understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what a beautiful thing to be able to get to know the nuances of an individual like that.
Absolutely. And she passed away in our home. And I don't regret that. I love the fact that we were that close to her, that she trusted us to be near us. And we've been taking care of Chucky since then. If anybody wonders, that's my stepdad. It was her second husband. We've always called him Chucky because of that. And way before the scary movies came out.
Oh, that's right. I've never seen those, so I never even think about that.
Yeah, me either. True. I haven't seen them.
Charles,
yeah. anyway, it was a beautiful time. It was a beautiful time to get to know her. And mm-hmm. I realized where we were like, where we're different, you know, all those things. But learned to love her.
I would say personality-wise, you probably tend more towards your dad's personality.
That was kind of a running byline. I kept saying, the more I get to know my mom, the more I realize I'm so much like my dad.
But I mean, you know, the whole thing, the bookkeeper, the accountant, the whole thing. So
My mom had a lot of great traits, and I see a lot of those in my granddaughter, Samantha. And
in your daughters, too. I see it in them as well.
Absolutely. They all carry some of those aspects. That of those things that were important to her.
They
that,
were. And that. She was just, she was fun. She was an iconoclast. She mm-hmm. was decidedly countercultural. She was adventurous in so many ways. And honestly, she could let you know if she was displeased with you.
Yeah.
But she always had such a soft spot for people who were broken and in need.
The downcast, the downtrodden. Yeah. Underprivileged, all of them. And honestly, there's like another side I've even gotten to know of her since she passed, by the number of people and the type of people and the type of comments I've gotten on her behalf. For one of the biggest statements, and she lived in an apartment complex, probably the same one for like the last 4 or 5 years that she and Chucky were here, because they were in a couple other ones before that.
So yeah, but no, it's more than that. I'd say about like seven to eight years.
Well, they had changed apartments a couple times in the same complex. And I mean, the staff got to know her really well, good, bad, and ugly, honestly. But they, when my mom came to our house and she was on hospice for a couple of days before she passed, a couple of the staff members came to our house. They said, can we come visit her? And I said, absolutely. And they came and visited her. They came to the memorial service. And believe me, I know she gave them grief at different times. I do. But they were able to look past that. And
they were, I mean, honestly, I mean, the maintenance guy, I mean, I just actually had to hold him while he was sobbing. I mean, it was
so dear.
Yeah, so she clearly had an impact on people in very positive ways. And that's a
absolutely.
That's
she
a
affected
wonderful
a
legacy.
Lot of people in a very positive way. I still get texts from some people saying, I'm missing your mom. And, and it's so sweet. And she was an only child and never did go to college, but she went to into the work field while we were still fairly young, and worked in the courts systems as a victim's advocate, and was a legal secretary, and really made her way into a professional world without a college degree, and actually got me my first jobs. I started working in offices with her and just loved it immediately. And that was one thing we had in common. Of course, she loved the interaction with the people. I love the interaction with
a cubicle,
papers, and yes, a desk. But either way, she helped me find my way.
That's cool. That's really wonderful. That's a wonderful legacy for her to leave behind.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, as we're talking about moms, your mom was an amazing person as well.
She was. She really was. Now, my mom passed away quite a while ago. My mom passed away in 95, I believe.
About the time Eastgate started.
Yeah, right around the time Eastgate started. 95 or 96. Actually, my father passed away in 95. My mom passed away in 96. She didn't stick around much longer after he was gone, which was interesting because they had a friendship, but they were separated.
They were.
But she was a fascinating woman, and there's no way for me to be able to ever explain her very easily. She was a walking contradiction in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because she was probably one of the most hippie type people I've ever known, and yet massively conservative, like politically, you would say.
Like
politically,
a two-sided coin, yes.
Theologically, everything else. I mean, she was very much a straight and narrow type person, but man, did she love organic foods and organic gardening and all of that. We'd get the Whole Earth catalog. I can still remember getting the Whole Earth catalog and Mother Earth news.
Yeah. At the house. But yet she was a staunch,
so,
pretty.
Yeah. So it would be so strange. Yeah. You'd see the Mother Earth news catalogs or magazines laying around the house. And so you'd make an automatic assumption about what kind of people are here. You're expecting a bunch of dope smokers or whatever. And then my mom, who's just not that at
not
all.
So
it was interesting. It was very interesting. She was
a woman who kind of made her way in the world too.
She did. She had a rough childhood. She grew up in Depression era.
And in a bigger family.
In a much larger family, a family of five kids. And I think she was the last surviving one.
Hmm.
Or no, her younger sister was the last. And I believe she's passed away as
Margie.
Well. Margie.
It was just two girls and three boys, right?
Yeah. In Pennsylvania, they grew up in pretty squalid conditions at that time.
Your mom was definitely older than my mom.
Yeah.
She had you at...
She was 35. You know, these are things I should know and I don't
Again,
know.
Again, force that diary.
Yeah, I should have had a diary. But we didn't keep very good records even within our own family. But she was a very loving person. She was, she was, again, a carefree type person like your mom would have been, but obviously with a different set of values that were guiding her through this life. But
yes.
She was I would say she was very artistic. She was an English teacher for most of my growing up. And I was introduced to poetry and literature at a very early age.
Yes.
And actually my dad being a poet as well and an author. So that was kind of, the table talk at our house when there was...
I love the stories of the two of them reciting poetry back and forth to each other that you would talk about.
They would do that on a regular basis. They had... My mom had lots of poetry memorized. And of course, Edna St. Vincent Millay was her favorite. And so she would quote those to us all the time. And I don't know that I have any recordings of her. I can still hear her voice in my head. But... there was a tragic turn in that whole thing because my mom got involved in the crazy church. That's how I ended up being there.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy church did not do any favors for her.
No.
And
made her life pretty miserable.
Made her life miserable. She felt the need to toe the line of the strict legalism of that. And so that got imposed on our relationship and nearly had us estranged for several years, right up until we moved here. And then things began to mend again. And I was able
to let
that
there. Be a separation.
Yeah. I was able to be there with her when she passed away. She passed away in Riley's house.
That's right.
And so those are our moms. They're not with us anymore. And if your mom is still around or your mom is still with you, be sure you love her. And even if you've got struggles or difficulties between the two of you, try to look past it. Future you will really appreciate it if you do all that you can to make peace. And I know sometimes that's not a realistic option, but as the Bible says, with whatever lies within you, make peace. Do what you can, because future you will not regret it.
That is the truth.
So
good words.
Happy Mother's Day to all those moms. Happy Mother's Day to you, Robbie.
Thank you.
You're a mom.
I guess so.
Happy Mother's Day to our daughters. And of the four people listening, if any of you are mothers, well, happy Mother's Day
to
you.
Or if any of you have a mother.
Yeah. Well,
wish them happy Mother's Day. So in sports news, what's happening?
Oh, man.
Is it good news?
It's really good news if you're a Cubs fan.
Who isn't?
Yeah, that's a good question. Who
that's
isn't
right.
a Cubs fan?
I want to know their names.
Yeah, we want names, addresses. We're going to convince you. Cubs, man. Oh, okay. So the Cubs are in first place in
what?
National League Central Division, which is their division.
That's
they
awesome.
Started off with a 7-game losing skid. Mm. It was terrible. Everybody's scratching their heads trying to figure out what happened to the Cubs.
That's and right.
They were down what in next to, I mean, the Reds are in last place and the Reds, you know, that's it's whatever. But they were just above the Reds. It was just like, what?
Yeah.
And now within, you know, not that much time, we're not that deep into the season. The Cubs have achieved first place status, beating the St. Louis Cardinals, sweeping them. The Cardinals
awesome.
Were the ones that were ahead of them in that. So.
I feel like they had a grand slam. I was going to say Kobe Bryant. Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant had a grand slam yesterday.
Yes.
Yes.
That's always so fun. Oh, my gosh. Those are the best.
And, of course, the Cubs are going to be playing the Marlins
that's
tonight.
That's the saddest series
hard
ever.
Yeah, because the Marlins, you know, that's the other team that we're kind of pulling for because, obviously, our son is an employee of
if
them.
If we haven't mentioned that before.
I don't know if we have or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But either way, they're struggling. The Marlins are struggling. The pitching is inconsistent. I feel like they've got a couple good pitchers in there with Smith and Richards
mm-hmm.
and Urania, but Urania's just kind of inconsistent in that.
He is. I feel like he's still young, but
yeah, it doesn't seem to go for the long games, and our bullpen struggles, and our batting is just. I mean, we got a few good hitters in there, and our outfield.
That's everything.
Yeah, I guess it is. We'd be a great team. All we need is an infield, an outfield, better pitchers, and a few rule changes.
You know what?
They
have an amazing stadium. And great food.
Yay. Oh,
and
man.
And it's baseball. Come
and
on.
It is baseball.
Go down there.
Go to
it's
Miami.
It's the best.
Go to Miami. Go watch a Marlins game. You could go down there and watch a Cubs game right now if you
that's
wanted to.
That's true.
I think
the Cubs are traveling.
I think they
yes,
are, yeah.
To Miami. And yeah.
So anyway, so that's good news. I mean, half. It's a 50% good news thing on baseball.
It's so hard.
On the baseball side of things. So that's a cool thing. And that's the only thing we pay attention to sport-wise in the summertime.
That's right. Although I will say, just as a sneak peek, I got an email, I don't know if you did too, from the NFL, what's it called?
I don't know. NFL, it's you're talking about the National Football
Draft, the fantasy.
Oh.
Fantasy football draft. I got like, get ready.
Already?
I clicked on it.
It
I went
even,
there. I couldn't find anything to do, but I did my
it's not
due diligence.
Yet. Don't,
it's happening.
I don't feel that's right. I feel like that's like putting out Christmas decorations
hey,
when it's Halloween.
I'm not the one who watched football when baseball season was starting.
I was enjoying that. It was
okay.
a good.
Well, all I'm saying is, it's
although I don't
soon.
Know whatever happened to the AAF football thing because it just kind of disappeared. I had them all set up to record, and then all of a sudden.
They're done.
It just was done. They
yeah.
just quit recording.
They didn't,
so.
They didn't show you the what playoffs or something.
Well, I felt
games,
like there
but.
Was some sort of playoff, but I don't know if there would. It culminated in a bowl game or something. I really don't know. So
some sort of mystery.
But I was getting far more interested in baseball by that time.
That was my only complaint. I was already
early.
In baseball mode. But I mean, it was cool, and I do like the league. I wish they'd play maybe the same time as the NFL.
No, that's the whole joy.
Well, minor
of it.
League plays the same time as major league, and I will say I should throw this into. We had to make a couple trips to Pensacola this last month, and we while we were there,
we just happened to pop in to watch the Blue Wahoos play.
So fun.
It was a lot of fun.
There's
love that stadium.
Than
if you're
game.
In Pensacola, you should go watch a Blue Wahoos game. Because remember, we talked about that. I read that article out in the last
that's
podcast
right.
about space baseball. It's a good sport to teach you patience. To you know, it can
we
become
know
a spiritual
all those
discipline.
Now.
Yes, that's right. But there's
We've
nothing
arrived.
Better. Just sitting out there as the sun had set and it was starting to get dark and watching the clouds roll overhead and the sound of the crowds around you and the peanuts and the hot dogs and watching the game unfold. It's just and the seats were cheap.
Yeah, we sat in different places this time. Normally we sit kind of near third base.
Yeah.
And this time we said, let's try something different. So we sat just past first base. And the last time we went, we were three rows back. And I think the seats were $15.
Yeah.
And we were texting our kids like, ah, look at where we are. And Bradley, I think, must have a subscription to view all the minor league because he works for the Marlins. It was, oh, I'll look for you. And sure enough, he texts us a picture of us. We made it on camera.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
You're watching
baseball.
I'm
enjoying a furious snack.
What if you're not? It's not. You can't. Doesn't look.
I hated
you
that.
You just know that you're eating. You can't tell that you're eating.
It looks like I'm like shoving food in my face. Great. I'm finally on the camera. And that's what I'm doing.
Like crumbs flying everywhere or something. It wasn't. You couldn't
I felt
even
like
tell.
My head was down and food was being shoved in the face. Either way, we were on camera.
We knew it was us. There was a cloud of food flying everywhere. Wrappers. And
it was so good.
There is good
splurged
food.
On it. We got, I think I was in the middle of eating those,
the nachos.
My mouth was watering.
Carnitas.
Yeah, carnitas pork.
Man.
On it.
Oh, and they had
gosh.
Street tacos. I'm telling you, the food at the Blue Wahoo Stadium
is so good.
Is superior food. It just really is good.
Yeah, and parking cost us 98 cents.
98 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. You can't
What's
beat
your
that.
Excuse
we'll
for
take
not
your
going.
Kids out
come
there
on.
To go to a ball game. It's 2 hours away, and Pensacola is a nice town.
That's right.
Now, don't do it on a Sunday.
Please don't.
Unless you're an Eastgate Plus member. It doesn't matter.
A Patreon subscriber. But speaking of baseball, our daughter that lives in Jacksonville, our oldest daughter, has been talking about wanting to go to a ball game because they have the Jacksonville
Jumbo Shrimp,
which is a Marlin farm team, by the way.
That's correct.
It used to be called the Jacksonville Suns, and they changed their name to something super classy.
Yeah, Jumbo Shrimp. Well, actually, I'm beginning to put the picture together. All minor league teams apparently
Pick
have
ironic.
Goofy names.
Yeah, on purpose.
So, yeah, I think it's on purpose.
Yeah, I remember Montgomery Biscuits. Yeah. I always love that. They're a Tampa Bay Ray.
Yeah, farm team.
But anyway, and so you were telling Jessica's like, I need to get to a game with Miles, our little grandson, little redheaded copper top grandson that loves baseball.
He does.
She goes, I need to go to a game before we move, which they're moving here to Panama City.
They are.
Which is so exciting. And we said, wait, there's always one in Pensacola. Now it's 2 hours away, but, you know, that's still something we can do. So
yeah, that's going to be exciting. And so that's kind of some news that's going on in our family, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, our oldest two kids both put offers down on houses and look like they're going to close in the next several weeks.
Yeah.
For houses here in Panama City Beach.
Right here.
Very blessed.
Close to us. And, so we're getting two grandkids back into the fold, into our little cult.
Woodrum cult.
No, but it's pretty wonderful. I mean,
Daniel and Melissa moved here about a year ago because they're up on their 1 year lease.
Yeah.
And so they started looking around. Their house was affected by the hurricane, I guess.
Pretty severely. And some of the other things were not even hurricane related.
That's what
some problems
I was gonna
say, with the air conditioner that had leaked down into the walls.
So their bed has been moved to the living room and the downstairs of their house. And they're like, yeah, we're done renting.
Yeah.
So they put an offer on a house.
So here's the cool thing at Eastgate. We got several different real estate. I'm going to mention two, but we've got others. Mary Tisdale is a real estate agent, but John Clonch was working with my son, and Cara Woodson was working with my daughter.
Yes.
And it was really awesome. They got him in there. And then there's a home inspector at Eastgate, Hank Stokes, and he came out and was working with them, has actually done a
Did
great
their inspections
job. Yeah.
On their homes, and it's so exciting.
It is. It's pretty exciting.
Up to this point, all of we have four kids, as y'all know. I'm sorry. Let me tell you about my grandkids. No, but the Janelle, my youngest, is the only one who's ever bought a house to this day, and all the other kids have just been renting till now.
Yeah.
So the older two are taking a big step of moving into their own home, and honestly, the housing market here in Panama City Beach is very difficult since the hurricane,
and housing prices have
to get
skyrocketed.
What they got what they got, and the realtors have helped them a lot, and Hank has helped them a lot, and just really, Jessica's already like, wow, I can see the benefit of a small town. There's
you
a lot
betcha.
Of people here
That's
that
right.
seem to. You know, want to help and
come
know
to
you
the
guys.
Small town. Come live with us.
We're so excited. Jessica got a house in the same neighborhood as my other daughter, Janelle. So they're going to be down and around the corner from each other, and the little the cousins will be able to play together.
That's
going to
be pretty
glorious.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And then Daniel's a little closer to us now. and Melissa, and so yeah, it's all awesome. We're so blessed.
Yeah, it's got to be disgusting to listen to us talk.
So sorry.
But, yeah, sorry about that. All four of you. Sorry. You could, really, honestly, I need to do some sort of. We need to have some sort of signal for people to tune out at different times, and then they can tune back in.
Time it.
Yeah. It's safe to come back now. We're done talking about our kids.
And shift, yes. Yeah, and along those lines, actually, someone just happened to ask me yesterday. She's a real sweet friend of mine who's been going through some transitions in her family and all. And she said, hey, I wanted to ask you. And when she got done asking me, she goes, I know I could read his book, but it's just easier to ask you. But she wanted to know what Dave Ramsey thought about a mortgage.
Yeah, and so well, tell us. Do you have a money minute to share with us, Robbie?
How about that? It's a good transition, right? Yes, and I will tell you what I told her. And I said, what strict Dave Ramsey says is he doesn't ever encourage going into debt for a mortgage. He always wants you to pay cash for everything. I'm rolling my eyes at that one. Not too many people can do that. It's great if you can. So if you can do it. But if not, his suggestion and recommendation is always only do a 15-year mortgage and make sure you put 20% down so you can avoid the I'm trying to think of the initial for it, but the insurance for, you know, if you put less than 20% down, there's a an insurance rate, an insurance payment you have to make for that. So she just went, oh, she could look very discouraged. And so I said, I get that. You know, not everybody can do that. Just do what you can.
How did we do that? We didn't do a 15-year mortgage.
No, we didn't. But that was way before Dave Ramsey came into our lives.
Into our lives?
Yes. We did a 30-year in our current home.
Well, you came into your life, and then you kind of dragged me along.
We did a 30-year in this house that we're in right now. But after we lived here for several years, 5 or 6 years, I think, I refinanced to a 15-year. And that's something that worked really well for us. It only upped our payment by $50, and it shaved another 5 or 6 years off our 30-year mortgage and came down to a 15. So it really helped us a lot. There was a few months where like all the closing costs were folded into the mortgage. And so we had to pay on that for a while before we started getting back to principal. And so that actually really worked for us. So just so you know,
that's be creative with it. That, as long as you're being conscious of what you're doing. And
buying a house is incredibly scary. And we and I joked and laughed about the day we went to closing. We've only bought two houses in our whole lives. And I think the first one we were 30 something. And but we went to closing and you're like, oh man, I just want to hide, put my arm and hide the income level because
they
really
had a paper
laying
there on the they had my income on there and I just wanted to put my arm over it so that they
please let us still have this
so
house
so that they didn't suddenly look over and say, wait a minute, wait,
this is all you make? Exactly. It's very scary and at first, but you start to wrap your mind around it after a few months.
I just remember the closing was just this horrible nightmare of sitting at a big table and just signing papers after like stacks and stacks of papers.
Yes. And I remember reading Dave Barry one time. He said all closing was about was writing checks and just
and
dropping
baskets
off the window.
Baskets full of checks that you just dump on the tables.
Exactly. It feels like that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm proud of my kids for doing it. It's challenging and it's a little scary. But
it's a good investment.
We've been there.
And definitely the thing you want to do, and especially here in this area. Given the way the property values are increasing, and it doesn't seem to be an artificial inflation of it.
Yeah,
it seems
I think it's fairly realistic
for where we are, being in a coastal area like
definitely.
This. Well, cool. So thank you for the Money Minute, Robbie.
You're welcome.
Good little bit of information and advice.
If you have any comments or questions about Eastgate, marriage, theology, finance, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop us an email at eastgatepcb@gmail.com. Thanks. So I wondered if we wanted to finish up, since we've been going on for a while, with just a quote that I found.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought since we're going to maybe talk about some Mother's Day and mothers things, I would find a quote from Mother Teresa.
Ah.
And I really love this. Honestly, there were so many good ones to choose from. It was very difficult. But this I thought was good. one of the many good ones. Intense love does not measure. It just gives.
Intense love does not measure. It just gives.
That's right.
Oh, man, I love that.
I do, too. How much do we as people tend to want to measure and quantify something?
And that certainly is the kind of love that was demonstrated to us through Christ.
Absolutely.
Was not. Jesus wasn't setting up qualifications. As we've been going through Mark, and I've been reading about all the different people that he's been healing, and you know, the subtext that's in there, that they're coming from all these different places where they should have been considered unclean. But Jesus puts no qualifiers on it. He just loves. He just gives.
That's good.
And so that's what Mother Teresa is saying there, is reflecting that same value from divine love, that it doesn't measure. It just gives. Oh, man, I like that. Yeah. Doesn't hold back.
Awesome.
It's not giving you a little pinch of love for this and waiting for something in exchange. It just gives.
Absolutely.
Man, I love that.
Mm-hmm. If you all get a chance, look up her quotes. There's a lot of web pages that show them, and there's so many other ones that are just incredible, really good. So happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. And now for Eastgate Plus members, they're just now, this is the, they got the intro and they get this. So
what?
That's it. That's awesome. That's all they have to listen to. So it's really wonderful. So anyway, I guess that's going to be it for us today. This is us. We're learning how to love God. We're learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
God bless you guys.
See you next time.
We're not going to see them. This is a podcast.
What?
Music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Scott Holmes, Madison Green, Poddington Bear, The Deep Space Destructors, and Lobo Loco from the Free Music Archive.